Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11. And today we're going to be studying about the topic of hell. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? All right, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? Of course, there's really good stuff concerning the hearts of the children of men that we could study in this particular proverb. But we're going to be looking at some more discussion on the heart in other proverbs. So we want to concentrate all of our teaching today on the subject of hell. Now let me say right from the beginning that I don't get any particular pleasure out of preaching on the doctrine of hell. I think when I first started preaching in the ministry, I delighted in the fact that I wasn't going there and tried to scare people out of there by preaching on the doctrine of hell. And somehow inside of me, because of what I knew from the Bible, I believe there was a certain delight in being able to preach on this doctrine. And, you know, that's gone now. The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. My desire, frankly, is to preach this because it is a true doctrine of the Bible. But my desire in doing that is twofold. Number one, actually threefold. Number one, if you're saved, to remind you what you got saved from, and to give you another reason to rejoice in your salvation with Jesus Christ. The second reason that it's profitable for us to preach on the doctrine of hell is to remind us that those who are not saved are going there, and that we need to do all that we can to remind them and be reminded ourselves that they're on their way to hell, and that we've got to try to give them the gospel and give them tracts and give them encouragement to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior so they don't wind up there. Very, very important. We need to be encouraged. Hell is real. And the third reason this is profitable for us is that you may be on your way there yourself. You may not have yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you need to receive him. And by hearing the truth of this doctrine, you might be encouraged then to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we are delighted to have the opportunity to preach on this doctrine for the glory of God, but not from the standpoint that we want to beat people into hell. There's no pleasure in that at all. It's like the good news, bad news thing. The doctor does not get any delight in giving you the bad news that you've got a serious illness. He gives you, he delights in giving you the good news when he's cured that illness and removed that illness and given you longer life. That's what he wants to tell you, but he doesn't want to tell you that you've got a bad problem. But, you know, he never gets to remedy the problem until he tells you what the problem is. So the delight he gets from telling you the bad news is simply that he has the opportunity then after that to fix it. And the delight we have in preaching the doctrine of hell today is so that we can tell you it's a real place and then give you the fix-it. Okay? Now, the Bible says hell and destruction are before the Lord. So they are real places. There are churches and denominations and groups, I think probably better called cults, that teach that there is no hell. And in order to teach this doctrine, what they've done is they've gone into languages like Greek and Hebrew, and they have decided that the word was translated improperly when it was translated hell, and that it should have been translated something else more suitable to their liking. And so they don't want you to even believe that there is such a place as hell. And that's a very unfortunate thing, because when you do that, you lead people into believing that there is no place of eternal punishment for souls that reject Jesus Christ. And so, you know, what happens? They go on comfortably thinking that there is no punishment for what they do now. Jesus preached on hell more than he preached on heaven. He preached on it plenty. And if you're not certain about that, get your Bible, read the Gospels, and you'll see for yourself. Now, hell was originally prepared not for people, Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a real place. Look in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. If hell is not a real place, Jesus Christ lied, and if he lied about hell, then he could lie about salvation. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God, and I'll tell you frankly, being God, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. That's just the way it goes. All right, now listen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Listen very carefully. This is in the judgment of the nations, and then the Lord says to the goat nations, the ones that are on his left hand, he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." It is a literal place with literal fire for cursed people, and it was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. And frankly, they wind up there, and the Bible tells us that they wind up there. In Isaiah chapter 14, for instance, now when we do this study today, you're going to hear me refer to a lot of scripture, and if you can keep up with me, turn to the places. But if not, you'll understand that we're basing this doctrine upon which we're preaching today on scripture, not on our own thinking. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations." Who's in the context here? Verse 12, Lucifer. Verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And he's talking to the devil. Now, we're not going to return to Isaiah chapter 14 because we've got a lot of scripture to cover today, but would you please note what I stressed in verse 9? "It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations." Let me tell you something. We're going to be looking today at the type of people that get thrown into hell, and I want you to see that kings of the nations wind up there. I mean, they're high and they're mighty and they're powerful when they're in the earth, but after they die, if they've not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they die and they go to hell and they have no power. Their thrones and their bodies or their souls are there. All right, now that takes care of the devil being in hell, but look at also this in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, we see the devil is going to be thrown there. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and notice this. "If God spared not the angels that sinned," all right, those are going to be the devil's angels, those are fallen angels. "If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under the judgment," and then he goes on to speak. So there they are, the devil, Isaiah 14, down to hell. The angels, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, down to hell. And that's who it was originally prepared for. But as it turns out, there will be people there as well, not just the devil and his angels. And to name a few, first of all, we saw in Isaiah 14 the kings. Isn't that strange? Here these guys were so powerful and so wealthy and so noble and so regal, and yet, you know what? They needed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if they didn't, all their power and all their pomp and all their circumstance and all their royalty did absolutely nothing for them after they died. All right, I'll show you somebody else that's down there. Isaiah chapter 9, you would expect them. Excuse me, Psalm chapter 9, you would expect this group. Psalm 9, verse 17, you would expect this group. Psalm 9, verse 17, look what it says. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." You see that? "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." So who's going to be there? The wicked. Well, you would expect that. I mean, you know, when I'm talking to people about Jesus Christ, and they say, "Well, I've never killed anybody. I've never stole anything. I've never cheated," you know. They're telling me that, and every man will profess his own goodness, so, you know, we understand. And so they don't think that they're on their way to hell. You know, they don't know what the Bible says. They just don't think they're going there because, you know, they hadn't been that bad. But if you mention somebody like Adolf Hitler or Charles Manson or Jeffrey Dahmer, well, then they'll say, "Oh, yeah, that's you'd expect that because they're wicked, you see." So when you say the wicked should be turned into hell, that's not a problem. The question is, who's wicked? See? And if you want to be the judge of who's wicked, there's going to be somebody that's worse than you. that's the way it goes. But God doesn't give it that liberty. Just suffice it to say, make it simple. Wicked people are people who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior in our age. If you're concerned whether or not you're one of the wicked, you may be a good person, you may be a religious person, you may be a person who does good deeds, you may be a good family man, you may have wonderful children, but let me tell you something. If you have not personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior according to the Bible, then you are the wicked, and the wicked go to hell. And you say, that doesn't make any sense. It does in this sense, that Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for you, and you refused what he did for you and the righteousness that he lived and the perfect life that he had. You refused that in order to pit your righteousness against his. That's wicked. That's to say that I am so good, I didn't need what he did for me. That's wicked. I mean, you would agree with that. To say that you're more righteous than God and that you have a better plan, you can get in on your good deeds and you don't need to trust Jesus Christ, that's wicked. That's wicked. And all the nations that forget God. You know, one of the reasons we're delighted to have this radio broadcast is that we get to remind all of the people in our listening area 5 days a week that there is a God and they're not to forget him. Because the nations that forget God end up in hell, and we don't want our nation to forget God. You see, there are a lot of things that are not legal anymore as far as the constitutional interpretation, as far as school and education and other types of government things are concerned. But hey, man, just because the courts have seen fit to remove the Ten Commandments from a few places, and just because there have been certain moves on the part of certain politicians to remove the Bible and prayer from school, at least to a certain extent, hey, that doesn't mean that our nation has to forget God. They themselves may want to forget God, but let's don't let the nation go down on that. Keep the tracks flowing. Keep telling people about Jesus Christ, all right? You live here. You live in this country. You want to keep supporting this as much as possible, see? And I'm delighted we have that opportunity. Who else goes to hell? The religious. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. Jesus Christ was talking to the religious people of his day. They were known as scribes and Pharisees. They knew more Bible, what we now would have termed Bible then, all that Old Testament stuff. They knew more Bible than all the disciples that were following Jesus Christ. And yet, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cup a sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." They're going, and their religious adherents are going. Some people say, well, our religion has been here longer than any other religion, and we span the globe. That means absolutely nothing to God. The scribes and Pharisees compass sea and land, make a proselyte. They do it just for one. And he says, you make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Religious people go to hell. The multitude of those whose favor is in the world go there. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Just covering all the bases, trying to let you know that hell is quite a full place. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Look what it says. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself. You know, there's plenty of room there. Another verse says hell and destruction are never full, so you can't fill it up. In other words, there are more people that wind up in hell than don't wind up in hell. Some people get the idea that most everybody that lives in the earth is going to go to heaven by some sort of religion. And the Bible just told you, religious people don't go there. You don't get to heaven by adhering to your religion. I know that there are a lot of preachers, not a lot, I know of two preachers, as a matter of fact, who have been questioned. They're high-profile preachers, and they've been questioned by good interviewers regarding their belief about people who adhere to the doctrines of their religions, though they have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they say, what do you think about them? And they say, well, we can't judge that. We really can't say what God will think about that. What they're telling you, because they're afraid to say, what they're telling you is that God, in fact, does have other ways for people to get to heaven besides Jesus Christ, even though Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, that was a very dogmatic and a very exclusive statement. He said, I'm the only way. and the high-profile preachers today, these two that I'm thinking of, didn't say that. They said, well, we really don't know what God's going to do with people that adhere to other religions that don't believe in Jesus Christ. In other words, we think there's a possibility that God will judge them because of their faithfulness to their religion and allow them to go in, while Jesus Christ, his own son, spoke to the religious people of his day and said, you're not going there. You can sort of understand why a preacher today would sort of hedge on that, because he doesn't want to sound like he's being judgmental. He doesn't want to draw the fire and attack of people that he might get to witness to later by saying that, you know, people that believe in Buddha or Islam or Confucius or Hinduism or Taoism or you name it, you know, that they don't get a chance unless they get Jesus Christ, you see. You sort of can understand why they don't want to say that, because there are millions and millions of people that adhere to those religions. But the truth of the matter is, hell is a very large place, and it's getting bigger. Hell hath enlarged herself. Hell and destruction are never full, indicating that it can get just as big as it needs to get to accommodate as many millions of people as need to go there. We cannot take away from the gospel just to appease those that don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, listen, if people can get to heaven by adhering to their religion and they don't need Jesus Christ, then why in the world did God kill his son or allow his son to die for those folks? It doesn't make any sense. The way to heaven is Jesus Christ, and the way to hell is to reject Jesus Christ. The multitude of those who find favor in the world, the Bible says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, see, the people that were gloried here, and their multitude and their pomp, he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, those that find good favor in this world. People that take the mark of the beast in the tribulation wind up in hell. That's Revelation 14, verses 9 to 11. And those who reject Christ now wind up in heaven. I've already said that, but I'll give you a verse on it. It's also in Matthew chapter 23. It's verse 33, and it says, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, Jesus Christ asks a question to the Pharisees and to the scribes, and he says, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? There's only one way. There's only one way to escape the damnation of hell, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, which is not such a hard thing, and it's not such a bad deal, because you don't have to work to trust him for your Savior. He's already done all the work. You simply have to trust what he's done for you, and it doesn't cost you a dime. Can you imagine such a thing? And there are people who say, well, I don't want him. Those who reject Christ wind up in the damnation of hell. Even the rich go there. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 23. Even the rich go there. People say, he's so successful, he's done so well. Well, there was a rich man that wouldn't take care of this beggar that was at his gate. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, that he was in hell. And when he was there, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. People said, hell, you can't air condition hell no matter how much you preach that it doesn't exist. It is a place of torment. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried, it's a place of crying, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's a place that is unmerciful. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, so there's no water there to cool the flame, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It's a place of torment, it's a place of fire, it's a place of flame, it's a place of no mercy, it's a place of no water. It is not the kind of place that you want to go. I was talking to a fellow the other day, he said, well, I believe hell's on earth. I said, you may have had a bad run while you're here, but it ain't nothing like what it's going to be down there. Nothing. Unquenchable thirst, torment, flame, and separated by a great gulf so that once a man winds up there, he can never get out. Listen, the Bible says it is a real fire, and that the fire in hell is hot enough to burn the earth and the mountains, just like happens when volcanoes explode. I don't see people hanging around volcanoes wanting to take a bath in the lava, do you? Boy, when they find out a volcano is going to go, they evacuate. They get out of there if they can. And you find out that hell is hot and can burn the earth and the mountains, and you want to hang around and go there to see what it's like? Don't do that. Don't do that. Deuteronomy 32:22 says, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Now that flame that's hot enough to do that to the earth and the foundations of the mountains is a flame that's hot enough to put you in torment and agony for an eternity. You say, well, I've been taught by my religion that this and this and that and that are so. You are listening to scripture after scripture after scripture, and the word H-E-L-L, hell, mixed with fire and torment and flame and destruction, is in every single passage. And you want to say you'd rather believe what you've been taught by your religion than by what you've been taught by the Bible? We have nothing to gain from this except another brother or sister in Christ if you'll reject the doctrine that you've heard and receive Jesus Christ so that you don't have to go to this place. It's a real hot fire. Now listen, Jesus has already been to hell for you in your place so that you don't have to go there. He is your substitute. You know what a substitute is, like when you were in school and you had a substitute teacher. Your teacher got sick and the substitute came and took her place, or the substitute came and took his place. Jesus Christ is your substitute. He went to hell for you so that you don't have to go there. Psalm 16, verse 10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And Peter preached that verse in Acts chapter 2 when he was preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and said concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Acts chapter 2, verse 27. What could be clearer? What could be clearer? He's already been there for you. According to Jonah, he's stayed there, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, he stayed there 3 days and three nights, and then came out, rose from it. The gates of hell did not prevail against him. He's beat hell. He's beat sin. He's beat death. He's beat the world. Why don't you take his offer? It's free. A free gift. Listen, if you will trust him, he will extend his mercy to keep you out of hell. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24 says, "The way of life is above to the wise." Well, that's where God is. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is true. I see it over and over again. I see it in the expressions of people. You know what? You don't have to guess where hell is or whether it's real. Every person that I've ever talked to concerning the doctrine of hell has said the same exact thing. When I start talking to them about that, I'll witness to them and let them know what the Bible says about sin and righteousness and judgment. And I'll say, "Hey, if you were to die now without the Lord Jesus Christ, where would you go?" Every one of them, invariably, without any fail, every one of them points their finger down toward their feet, down underneath their feet, down into the earth. Every one of them. I've never had anybody point any other way. So where will you go if you die without Christ? Every one of them points down. You know why? Hell is beneath. Everybody knows that. It's instinctive with them. And he says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Psalm 86:13 says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." There's a man, David, that had absolute assurance that he was not going to go to hell because God had extended his mercy. Now you want mercy? Trust Jesus Christ. Listen, if you reject him, he will throw you there. He will. It's not because he wants to. It's because you rejected him. You did not want him. In Luke chapter 12, verse 5, Luke chapter 12, verse 5, we read something. It's so plain. You know, when you were a little child, really, you would have believed this, you would have understood this, you would have jumped on it. Now you're older, and you think you're wiser, and you're tough, and you don't want to do this. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, "I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Now Jesus Christ has the power to throw you into hell. Say, would he really do it? Yeah, if you reject him. I've got a neat illustration. I don't know if I've got time to tell you this, but I think I do. I think I'll just tell you this real quickly. I was witnessing to a young lady who just had a baby. She couldn't understand how a loving God would throw somebody into hell if he's a loving God. I said, you love that baby, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, now I'm going to make the illustration real short, okay? I said, what if I were convicted of a capital crime and I was in jail, ready to be injected with a lethal injection and die? And you and your husband, for some strange reason, decided you wanted to have mercy on me and didn't want me to die. So instead, you let the state kill your baby to satisfy the death penalty and allow me to go free. You wouldn't do it. No, she said, I would not. But I said, just go along with me, because that's what God did for his son. He allowed his son to die so you didn't have to. Okay? She said, okay. All right, so let's say that you do that and allow your baby to die. Now you and your husband come to me in tears while I'm in my jail cell and say, you know what? We realized that we didn't want you to die, so we've had our baby killed in your place so you can go free. What if I looked at you and spit and said, you just wasted your time, honey. You should have never killed that baby, because I don't want what you've done for me. What would you do? And she said, I'd kill you myself. I said, then you understand how God, a loving God. She said, yeah, I understand. I understand how a loving God could throw somebody to hell. I'd throw you in there myself if I kill my baby for you. Well, I said, he killed his son for you, and you're rejecting him. She said, I don't want to reject him. I see what you're saying. I see what he's done for me. She changed her mind. And she also understood with a mother's love how somebody could be thrown into hell for rejecting a son, a sacrifice. Listen, if you wind up in hell, you're only going to come out of there to be thrown into a lake of fire. Because the Bible says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You don't want to go there, I promise you. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's such a simple, simple little offer. Listen, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got an opportunity to do that today. You do. Just bow your head and pray, dear God, thank you that Jesus died in my place. Thank you that he took my sins. Thank you that he went to hell for me. I don't want to go there. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Take my sins away from me and take me home to heaven when I die. Pray along those lines and tell him that you want him. He'll save you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.